am delighted that you decided to take time out of your free afternoon to come in here and talk about leadership and missions. So either you have two things. You have nothing else to do, or you're really interested in leadership and missions. And I'll take the second one, and we'll go from there. It's been great. Good conference so far? It's been a good conference so far. I enjoyed it very much. Here's what we're going to do for the next 45 minutes. I'm going to talk for a few, maybe 15 or 20 or so, and kind of just set this up a little bit. And then Sarah Jones is going to come and finish it out with some stories and some illustrations and some comments and some questions and answers. I represent and work for Equip International Ministries, which was founded by John Maxwell 13 years ago, to train leaders on the international scene, which has developed training leaders here in the United States as well. And basically everything John does, we do as Equip Internationally, falls on my plate, as well as the financial officer of the organization. Sarah directs it. In other words, she does the deal. I get some of the credit, but she does all the detail work and can really dig down deep into leadership and missions. I have an outline that I'd like the ladies to pass out to you, dribble on and take notes, and maybe we could close the door on the way out. It would be good. And this way will help you kind of know where I'm coming from a little bit, but also give you my contact information so you can email me, love to hear from you, answer your questions, help you on the journey, all that sort of thing, because is the great difference maker. And I started out in the business world, was in business with my dad for almost 25 years and in the great state of New Jersey, and then I left that state to go into youth work. Was in youth work for a number of years where the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association found me, and I went with the Billy Graham Association, helping them to develop Cove in Asheville, North Carolina, and then moved over to their radio and media ministries where John Maxwell found me. And next thing you know, I'm training for John in Beirut, Lebanon, and some other places around the world as an associate trainer. And then ended up John asking me if I'd come full-time and work on partnerships and the international ministry and on the finances. I find myself today. That's kind of a thumbnail sketch of who I am and my leadership journey. When John Maxwell was asking me to come on board full-time at Equip, we were talking one day, and I said, John, to be perfectly honest with you, you never taught me anything new about leadership. I don't know what that means, but I might just did my review, but I'm not looking for a job, so I'm content where I am. And I said, but, you know, actually my dad taught me most of what I know. Billy Graham taught me a few things about process. But I said, John, here's what you did for me one day in Winston-Salem. I went to your very first seminar. I didn't have a clue who you were. You took what I knew, Bible, and you put the two together in transferable concepts so I could get it. I could understand the importance of leadership development in people's lives, how it is the great difference maker. How many were in the last sessions with Rob Hoskins? You were in this room in the last one. This is a great follow-up to everything Rob says. And some of the things Rob mentioned to you in that repeat, because he gave us a great world view of what's happening around the world today. And this is being recorded, and you can pick that tape up to get all that information. But all around the world, we have this great opportunity before us to connect where people are and to bring them on the journey. Rob told us that 1.3 billion people are unsaved. They don't know Christ as Savior, and that would represent maybe this chair here. And then there's another group of people that have been evangelized, 2.6 billion people. And then there's another group that have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they're starting their walk with Christ. In the world today, a fourth group that we would call totally devoted followers of Christ. What our privilege is to how do we connect with these people where they are on the journey so that they can continually move down to be totally devoted followers of Christ. You and I know that we're to do two things. And it's really simple. As individuals, we have one priority. And that is to love the Lord our God with all of our strength and with all of our might. That's the one thing we're to do. How we work that out in our lives gets very complicated. But that's all I'm called to do every day. Lord, my God, with all of my heart. The one thing that I'm called to do corporately is to go into all the world and train and instruct and to make disciples. Making disciples is, how do I influence, which is the first line on your outline, people from where they are to be totally devoted followers of Christ? How can you in the church today, which Rob talked about last hour, that the average young person today who comes to Christ is the age 14 or lower, not 18, like it used to be when I was going to Christian camp. How can you, younger generation, how do you do that? If you'd go with me to India, I just got back from North Korea, talking to some North Koreans, and you're working with these North Koreans, or you're working in India, or you're working in China, with all the problems we talked about last hour and all the challenges before the church today. How do we influence? How do we get into somebody else's life to move them on this journey of progression? That's a leadership issue. It's not a theological doctrine issue. If it was a doctrine theological issue, we would have solved it a long time ago. But it's not solved. Christianity, more than any other religion or people or religious group, if you want to use that term that way, has been trying to figure this out for decades. How do we stay relevant to the scriptures and still connect to the audience and bring them along on the journey? How do I get people involved in missions? Missions is national. Missions is in your town, in your city. If you're a church planter, how do I help the local people? How do I connect with them where they are? How do I lead them so that they can be more significant, come to Christ, join my church so I can develop them, and someday they'll become totally devoted followers of Christ? How do I go into their world? How do I go into the world where God has placed me and train and instruct them to become disciples of Jesus Christ? In fact, the word make is an interesting word, I think. The word make is that word that kind of has like it's forced. I'm going to make you be Christ. I'm going to push you. I call it the law of the rope. The law of the rope says, if I had a rope in this room and I gave you one end of it, you'd hold on to it. And I gently can pull you along. But I can't push. What happens to a rope when I push it? It's a leadership issue. Whether we're going to reach our communities for Christ with missions here at home or around the world, it's a leadership issue. It's not a theological and doctrinal issue. Now, what happens is that leadership today has become a word that, it's like the word worship. What does it really mean? Everybody uses it, and I'm not sure we have defined it lately. My dad didn't, you put it this way, John Maxwell puts it this way, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. It's how do I influence somebody to take the journey before them? How do I influence? My dad used to say this, son, don't leave anybody mad at you because someday, somewheres, you're going to need them to help you on the journey. He's just talking about influence. How do you do that? Here's how you do it. It takes three things, and you can write them in there's places on your notes for them. It takes character, spiritual character. Who am I on the inside? The church normally does this really well. This is called discipleship. I say fairly well because most churches do it fairly well. not perfect, but they do it fairly well. The second item would be skill formation. How do I take what's before me in my community as a church planter, and how do I do a mission project? How do I influence people to be involved in that mission project so I can connect with those people to live on this journey? What are the skills that are needed? How do I sell the vision? How do I proclaim the mission? How do I do what you need to do to lead people? And then the third thing that's needed is the strategic formation of a leader. How do I on purpose have a program that's going to connect with people and continue with them on the journey to become totally devoted followers of Christ? That's mission. It's missions. Because I don't want to just do a mission project in my community once a year, even though we have energy, but I want to have maybe a food bank. I want to do something in my community to show them the love of Christ before I share with them how to be in love with Christ. I think sometimes, let me put it to you this way. Let me put it to you the way my dad put it to me once. He was a businessman, started two churches in his own. How dare we share with people their need of a Savior without ever showing them that the Savior loves them first? What gives them the right to want to listen to you, to begin to take this journey with you without showing them the love of Christ? That's missions. The connection. Simply put, I could put it in a cute little statement that says this: I think churches, for the most part, are program-oriented, not process-oriented. It's not in your notes, but churches, for the most part, think programs, not process. And leadership development is all about the process. How do I do what I need to do and strategic where they are to where they need to be? Here's what happens. Let's say that this chair represents somebody in your town. And let's say that this chair represents your program, something you started. What we do is we stand up on more program-oriented than process-oriented, and we say to our audience, listen, we have people over there that need to take part in this program, because if they take part in this program, then they're going to develop as a Christian. The problem is these people are way over here, and we're supposed to lead them. And we're saying, jump from where you are, and somehow you've got to cover all this ground and land in this chair. And the majority of the people in your congregation, or the few people that are helping you start your church, are saying, I can't do that. Why can't they do that? Because you're trying to give them an expectation in itself is good. This program is good. But you need the skills to say, let's take step one. Let's take step two. And maybe there's a step three that gets them to this program. This is process. Maybe it's stirs their heart, that lets them learn something. They do something locally in missions. They do something more in missions. And pretty soon they become a totally devoted follower of Christ. How do you lead people to that process, to that conclusion, that end? Missions isn't just sitting in the office and saying, someday, somewheres, we need an international mission program. Doesn't work that way. Mission starts today. And in many cases, for many of us, missions started before we even planted the church, because it was our way to connect to the community where God wants us to plant the church. This is what I got to do. I got to show them the love of Christ. And then we're going to develop that through the process. And not just hang out a sign with something new in town that's going to draw people from other churches to join mine. This gives us mission. This gives us purpose. This gives us direction. And then someday, maybe we can expand that as God lays a country on our heart to an overseas destination. And in the QIP process, when a pastor can and has the capabilities of travel, they can train for us overseas. Here's what I know about leadership. Once you get leadership piece right and you're willing to do the leadership piece, it is the great connector in a community between the unsaved and the saved. It's kind of that piece to the community, I'm here for you, because everybody loves leadership. Very few people understand it. It's one of those love-hate deals. I love leadership, but I don't want to pay the price. I love the position of leader, but I don't want to be the servant. I love, but it's a constant tension going on. And it will always be that way to a degree until you really understand that leadership is a growth pattern in those three specific areas that I gave you. It's not just one. If you would talk to Chris Hodges would probably tell you that the reason his church is voted the fastest growing church in America, probably 65-70% of his time developing leaders in all three of those areas. The reason I know that is he uses the equip material and curriculum to do that. We don't want our name on it. We don't want Maxwell's name on it. Good Lord, we have one John Maxwell. We don't need more. One's enough. We want it to be yours. So we co-brand it. Put your own. Help. All we want to do is help you connect with the people in your community and lead them. What would be greater than to sit down on a Monday morning or some morning of the week at breakfast and get a bunch of business guys together, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, and just say, hey, listen, I want to just share with you some leadership skills that I think we can talk about and share together. And you start a little small group of business or gals, and you start teaching leadership and start moving it through. And someday somebody's going to say, where's this stuff come from? I see some Bible verses in here. What about the Bible? And you make the connection, and you start to lead them and start to develop them and to move them forward to the next level. What happens if you start doing that, as we've had some pastors do it, in the public school system after school? Or in some universities. They're not doing a Bible study, we're doing a leadership study. And all of a sudden that becomes a mission field. And you start connecting and start moving people to where they need to be, totally devoted followers of Christ. Now, how does that get lived out in some examples around the world? How does that get lived out? Be in your neighborhood. I'm going to have Sarah Jones come, our Director of International Ministries, and kind of just fill in the gaps of this a little bit and maybe get some discussion going. Excuse us for a minute while we do some technical switching.
Check.
And if we're going to fill the Great Commission, leaders of a mission organization, the missionaries, as well as leaders, must work on their character formation, who we are on the inside, sharpen their skills, and develop formation. How do we deliver what we deliver? And at the end, if you give Sarah a card, she has a special gift for it.
Will we?
Yeah, that's good.
That was interesting.
All right, does that fill in the blanks for you? I'll be
right. All right, we good?
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be with you. I wanted to hopefully flesh out a little bit of what Tom had talked about and share with you some stories of what God is doing around the world through leadership training. Our mission at EQIP is to train effective Christian leaders to fulfill the Great Commission. I know one thing that unifies all of us in this room, Manners, because you believe in Jesus' call to fulfill the Great Commission. And you're doing that in your community. You have a heart for that, for the world. And we believe that the only way that's going to happen is if we train servant, biblically trained, effective Christian leaders. As people come to know Christ, who's going to disciple them? Are growing in their new faith and their families, who's going to lead them? Who's going to cast vision for them? Who's going to equip them? Who's going to empower them? And so we believe leadership is a key piece in fulfilling the Great Commission. I'd love to share with you a few stories of what God's doing around the world through leadership training. Equip right now, we're in over 100, so many things going on, but just a few highlights of things we've heard recently. One of our Equip executives, Doug Carter, was just recently in China. And in China, we work in multiple streams to train leaders there in the house church movement, underground church movement, the registered church movement, and with university students and businesses. And recently, Doug trained some of the house churches and partners with us regularly to train leaders, house church leaders in China as well. And one of the head leaders of the house, there's about five key house church leader streams, and one of those head leaders, just 2 months before he started the Equip training, he was given that opportunity, that privilege, that position. And he shared with Doug that the Equip training, in his words, is his ministry from sure failure. He said, because before Equip, I thought of leadership as a position, as authority, as, all right, I need to do this and you all run and do it, instead of developing people and empowering people. And so when we think of leadership, we think of serving people, empowering people. So many of us have other views of leadership, whether that's all right, parking spot or have the position or have the authority, but it's servant leadership and developing others. We recently heard of a story of a bishop in Russia, and he shared that what he had learned through the Equip material was so helpful for him because of those three areas Tom had mentioned, because it's not just character formation and skill formation, strategic formation, but there's that spiritual, and he was training multiple leaders using the material. And one of those groups was a group of students in Tomsk, Russia. And that group of students themselves formed a church and started a church through the training and through the vision that they received. I thought, wow, what a great church planning strategy right there. Training leaders and then a church forming from there. Amber and Brian and I were with our Latin America country coordinators. There were about leaders from 18 different countries represented in Latin America. And one of our country coordinators from El Salvador shared with Amber that when he started the leadership process about 3 years ago, his church had about 300 people. And through what he learned through the process, his church owned to 3,000. And he said, of course, the Holy Spirit has, God has done the work and grown it. But he said what he learned through that he was a lid in his church. You know, John Maxwell teaches the law of the lid, that the organization, the others can't rise above the leader. And so he was here, and he had to grow in his leadership. And so what he learned, the Lord blessed and grew the church abundantly. And when we hear that, I know you as pastors, as church planners, think of that's 2,700 more people, more families that are affected, that are impacted, that are reached through Christ and through this pastor and church's growth as well. And so it's impacted churches. Mission, in order to be fulfilled, sometimes you just have to share the love of Christ in practical, tangible ways. Amber and I both had the privilege to meet Wendy and Wilcox, some friends in Southern Africa and South Africa who went through the Equip training. And they're black South Africans who grew up under the apartheid. And of course, we're taught that they could not amount to much of anything, have much mission from there. And so, of course, in our first lesson, we teach God's call for us to lead from Genesis 1, that all of us are made in the image of the Lord, that we are all called to be leaders. And they said that was just a light opening for them, completely different from what they had been taught, but that they could be leaders. And so, of course, you know that in South Africa has the world's largest AIDS community that they were living in, and we were there just of lots of tin shacks and in a settlement there. They began to plant a church and form two preschools there to help take care of the children whose parents, many of them, had passed away. and create a bakery to help create jobs and economic development in that process as well. So tangible ways to share Christ. So there's so many examples and stories, and I'm sure in your own life and sphere, in your missions and work around the world, you can see the link of the Great Commission being fulfilled, and it always takes a leader. It always takes someone on the ground, someone with a vision, maybe your leadership, your vision, your passion, and often the impact of that ministry will rise and fall, John Maxwell always tells us, on leadership, on that leader's growth and their development. So with our heart and passion is just to see leaders develop to fulfill the Great Commission. And we can't do that alone. Our team in the Equip office is very small. There's 13 of us. And that's only done through partnerships in those over 100, as well as partnerships with churches and businessmen here in the U.S. I was actually just this afternoon talking with a pastor who's here at the conference who's partnering with us in Moldova. And he and his senior pastor are going to Moldova. Equip typically has a 3-year leadership development process. Tom was talking some about how do you get people from here to here. It's got to be in a process over time, that leaders are not just developed best in an event. It can be a great catalyst. Like, this is an amazing event. And what are we going to take kind of from here? But what is going to be the process, the follow-up from the events? And so, is it making too much noise? Sorry about that. Okay, here, I'll take the other one off, so we'll match. How's that? No, that's, pardon? Is that better? Okay, thanks. So, I totally lost my train of thought. No, that's okay. Process. Thank you. So in that process, so we believe leaders are best developed in the pastors that I was talking with. They're just at the beginning of their 3-year commitment to go to Moldova 6 times over those 3 years and equip leaders each of those 6 different times. And then those leaders who are taught go out and train others in what they've received. So there's a process piece, then there's a multiplication piece as well, where those leaders will train others, come back each time to each conference, and then are trained again, go back and teach others. And then that's the 3-year process is really just the start. Then we have other volumes of curriculum material if they're interested in continuing on that as well. But the pastor that I was talking with, he's going this fall, and this will be their 2nd time going. He was sharing that they're looking for other opportunities to be involved. They're going to take a team coordinator there and potentially an orphanage. So there's so many ways to be involved, but we cannot do it alone. It's through partnerships with churches here. One of our partners, a church out in Arizona, a pastor trains with a businessman, actually an executive from Sonic, in his church in Lima, Peru. And it's had such an impact on the business, as he said, it just has opened my eyes to so much more than here in the U.S. And he said it just completely changed his life and changed his perspective. So those are just a couple ways that we partner, and there's other ways too, sometimes with churches here in the U.S. Maybe you have a place, a particular country or region that is a passion for you. Some of the leadership development curriculum we have, we're all about making that available and partnering with churches in a particular area as well. So I feel like there's lots more we could talk about, but let's stop here. And what questions do you guys have, either with what Tom has talked about, maybe what's going on in different parts of the world, how you could be involved, your situation, thoughts, comments, questions? What do you guys have? Yes.
I'll just say that I know that we as a local church have partnered with at least 2 other churches to initiate the work in Dominican Republic.
Good.
With Raul Vargas.
Yes. Okay, so you're part of that. Okay, yes. Good.
So I think we just had our first kickoff.
In February, I believe.
And none of them go, but we have a ministry partner who's a Costa Rican national.
Okay.
So he sort of went and represented us and hit it out of the park. It was great.
Awesome.
So excited about that.
Good.
And like you said, the long term, not only the 3-year, but we see out of that coalition of pastors being developed, the potential for church planting, not only in the DR, but as you know, America can go all over the world. So.
Absolutely. And Latins can go to areas that us as North Americans often cannot go, whether it's back in the Muslim world or... Yeah, that's good. That's very good. We were actually just with Raul last week at the Latin America Country Coordinator Gathering. Other questions? Yeah.
We just in the last 3 weeks, we have a new missionary. I'm with Epic Church in Decatur, Alabama.
Okay.
We're 3 months into having our first missionary in Moldova.
Wow.
And that's funny you said that a minute ago. He's actually working with the church that Alexandra is running in Moldova. Just anything you can, you know, that we know he's having some struggles over there. Sure. A huge government, you know, transition.
Right. Sure. Absolutely, that would be great. If maybe we afterwards can connect, and if you give me your card information, what we love to do sometimes is just connect contacts we have here with our coordinator there. Actually, he was our Moldova country coordinator, believe it or not, was here last night. He was flying back to Moldova today. I wish he could have stayed for one more day. But
he's actually only 7 weeks in. He's still working on getting his residency, which we have learned is a lot harder process than we initially thought. And, you know, you only have 3 months to do it, and we're hitting that window where, you know, if he doesn't get his, if he's not granted his residency, he's going to have to leave. And so we're really praying hard for that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And I think maybe the biggest thing is just the contacts and the network, and kind of once you get connected there, who else could they potentially know from there? And absolutely. That's good. Let's connect afterwards. Good. What other questions? All right. Well, an opportunity, just something I want to make you guys aware of here in the U.S., which is growing around the world as well, and it's called Leadership Moment. It's a just 1 minute radio feature, and we talk about that it's for the CEO to the stay-at-home mom. All of us are leaders in some capacity, and just a leadership moment thought from John Maxwell and John Hull, our president. And we actually, as Tom mentioned, if you want to give us your business cards, Leadership Moment books over there, you can just leave a business card on the counter over there and pick up one of the books. It has a leadership, it's like a daily devotional type thing, it has a leadership thought for each day. But Amber Davidson is here with us too. She's in the back. Her and I are going to stick around, and we'll be our equip booth is right across from the coffee. So there, we would love to talk with you further. If you have any questions, just anything that we can help you with, we would love to do so. Thanks so much for your time.
Can we just put our hands together for Sarah and Tom?